Well, good morning. A little chilly down here, huh? Well, welcome to the start of a La Nina. And that's exactly what La Nina does. It starts bringing more cold air down into the midsection of the country. So we're going to talk about that El Nino very shortly here. Going to go over to the development of La Nina. World weather conditions, which very shortly, if they haven't already, are going to start moving towards La Nina, and then finally do the long-range outlook for the United States February through August. This is the current sea surface temperature map for the entire world. Look at the red box there along the equator. It's still warm. This is an El Nino that really started back in 2014 and is just about getting ready to die. If you look off the coast of California and South America, Chile, we've started to develop some very cold water off the coasts. And that is a precursor then to rapid development of La Nina. In the central Pacific, near Hawaii, it's real warm. And again, that particular pattern is typical of La Nina. And if you look out in the Atlantic Ocean, it's still warm out there. It's the reason we've had a lot of hurricane activity. But that too will probably fade with the development of La Nina. These are the forecasts for sea surface temperatures, SSTs, south of Hawaii, the graph on the left, and off the coast of Peru, the graph on the right. And they run the model 28 different times, so you're seeing the model over the last 28 runs, and all of the model runs are showing a steady downward decline in sea surface temperatures. We haven't seen this since about 2012 or 2013. So you know right away that our weather patterns are going to start being quite different than what we've had over the last 5 to 6 years. The graph on their map on the left is the February forecast for sea surface temperatures by NOAA. Notice it's still very warm along the equator. On the other hand, if you look at the July map, which is on the right, look at all the cold water that's being forecast from the coast of Peru and Ecuador out towards the dateline. This is going to be the thing that's going to turn the weather conditions in Australia around. The constant El Nino pattern since 2014 is why they've had such a bad drought. And with development of La Nina, I think they're going to get some moisture. This graphic shows the vegetation health index based on satellite data, and it's a measurement of how much green the satellite is seeing. The browns indicate conditions which are less green compared to last year at this time, and the blues, turquoise, indicate conditions which are greener this year compared to last year at this particular time. Let's start in North America first. Mexico had a very wet end to their summer and fall. This was the dying gasp of El Nino. But look at the dryness that's developed from Texas into the south-central United States. Let's go to South America. They started really poorly in Brazil with their growing season, which is typical of El Nino. On the other hand, they've had pretty good rain for the last 45 days. So notice the arrow is pointing to a lot of turquoise in the Brazilian growing areas. On the other hand, Argentina is dry, a lot of brown. This is, again, a typical pattern with La Nina. So La Nina is already impacting South America first, and that's not surprising because it's already started cooling off the coast of Chile. Let's go to Asia. Australia, we already know, has a terrible drought. You can see a lot of browns in there indicating that the vegetation's running 25 to 35% less green compared to last year at this time. On the other hand, the wheat areas of India, as well as China, show turquoise, indicating things are in really good shape. They haven't had much cold in China, so their winter crops are going to be in very good shape. Precipitation-wise, this is the map for precipitation in the last 7, 30, and 90 days for South America. Let's look at that 90-day map on the bottom right-hand corner first. The whole continent was basically dry 90 days ago, which is typical of El Nino. So they had a very dry October, November, early December. You go to 30 days, all of a sudden we see moisture starting to develop in the eastern portions of Brazil. And by the time you get to the last 7 days, it's really turned quite wet. Again, typical of development La Nina. Argentina, on the other hand, 90 days ago, was about normal precipitation. 30 days ago, we started seeing a little dryness, but look at the last 7 days, quite dry. So again, the changes are quite quick. The map on the left shows that vegetation health index this year, blues indicate vegetation that is much greener than normal. In other words, the crop should be in good shape. The map on the right shows the change from last year. Now, one of the biggest concerns in the world is Brazil going to be able to produce enough soybeans for China. And the bottom line is, if you look at that map on the right, things are better this year than last year at this time. In other words, even though they started hot and dry, it looks like the crop has turned around and is in actually better shape than last year at this time. So yes, Brazil is going to produce. On the other hand, if you look at Argentina, again, the map on the right, vegetation health greenness is running about 12 to 36% less than last year at this time. So they're going to have a problem with the crop. Now, the main concern, though, is Brazil for shipment to China. Let's go to Asia. Look at the 90-day map there on the bottom right-hand corner for Australia. Very dry throughout most of the continent. Last 30 days still stayed dry. But in terms of the cattle industry, we've started seeing moisture return to Queensland area, northeast Australia, in that particular circle. So again, there's a response that the equator is starting to flip and they're going to get moisture. Look up there in China. China's had a pretty good moisture stretch here all the way for the last 90 days. In other words, the crop's in great shape. It's been a mild winter. The crop is early. Things look great. India, on the other hand, has turned drier, but the bottom line is in India, most of the crop is irrigated, so it's really not a concern that they've turned drier. Vegetation health index for Australia. Map on the left shows the vegetation health index departure, and it looks like it's running in the lowest 12 to 6% of all years over the last 30 years. So not surprising we have those fires. Change from last year at this time, if you look at Southeast Australia where they've had the majority of the fires, that is showing a lot of brown, indicating vegetation health index is running about 35% of what it was last year at this time. Let's go to the United States, North America, and Southern Canada. If you look at the 90-day chart, that's still an El Nino pattern. Mexico is quite wet. Green's indicating well above normal precipitation, about 200% normal, all the way up into Arizona. It was dry in the northwestern portion of the United States. But you get into the 30-day period, it starts drying out in the southwestern U.S. and northern Mexico. And now in the last 7 days, it's very dry. On the other hand, the Pacific Northwest has gradually become wetter. Again, this is a typical change towards La Nina. The Midwest also is kind of holding on to some moisture, but we need to watch that developing dryness in the Dakotas into central Canada. This is the U.S. drought monitor map on the bottom left. In the upper right-hand corner is the percent normal precipitation for the last 180 days. And on the vegetation drought monitor map, we can see we still have drought in the northwest, left over from this continuous El Nino event, dryness in the central Rockies, and also dryness which has developed in Texas. The problem is for Texas, you go into La Nina is dry in Texas. So I think our major concern going forward is going to be the state of Texas. Percent normal precip, that 180D map in the upper right-hand corner, we've seen a lot of moisture in the northern plains. Again, with La Nina, though, just recently, it started to turn dry up there, and I think it's going to persist that way. Vegetation health index, of course, we have snow on the ground, so we can't see much across the northern Rockies into the upper Midwest. It's white, indicating snow. But if we look down there in western Mexico, we see a lot of dark blues, and that's basically because of the good moisture they had in the fall. But if we look towards Texas, even in the mid-Mississippi Valley, we're kind of seeing some yellows and reds, and that's because of the drier pattern that we've been having in there. If we look at the change from last year, which is the bottom map, again, Texas is the main area that's really started to dry out in terms of the vegetation index. And there's also drying in Southern California and Arizona recently compared to last year. Again, these are all typical changes that we'd expect with La Nina developing. Let's go on to the forecast. My approach is an analog forecast. I look at climate indices in the upper atmosphere, 700 millibars, about 10,000 feet up. That's the upper map. And then I look at sea surface temperatures, SSTs, and that's the bottom map. There's 11 boxes in here which have been outlined. I take the climate indices from those 11 boxes. I run them through a statistical cluster analysis program that says, hey, what years have a match very similar to what we have going on there? I want everyone to read the disclaimer in the bottom portion of this graph. Can you guys in the back see it? This is not a medical eye exam chart, but this is the approach I take in making the forecast. I have these correlations. I have a list of years. They're ranked here. The top year is 2012, though it's not an analog year. And I just simply look through them, and then I compare what the evolution of the weather pattern is with these particular years, and I choose the analog year. So the analog years right now are 1989, 1990, and 2008 in 2018. Now, before we get into the actual forecast, there is one concern, and that is we don't have snow on the ground, all the way from Nebraska up into Alberta and Saskatchewan. It is quite dry. And if we're going to have a cold winter, which is typical of La Nina, we ought to have more snow on the ground to facilitate that cold. We need snow to reflect sunlight. Sun doesn't come to the ground and heat it, therefore the atmosphere stays relatively cold. We don't have that. We have a lot of open ground. But last year at the time, we also had the same pattern. It was basically at the end of January, it was still open from Nebraska into Western Canada. Last year, on the other hand, we had a large hole develop on the sun, which threw out a great big burst of energy. That energy got to the North Pole, suddenly heated it up, forced the polar jet south. We had a lot of snow starting at the very first part of February, and it lasted all the way through March. This year, we're not going to have that pattern. So even though last year started looking exactly like this year, I mean, these two maps are very similar, we're going to go really diverge, again, because we're also going towards La Nina. One problem, and it may be difficult for you to see in the bottom left-hand map, the NOAA model is indicating way up in the upper stratosphere, we're talking all the way up at 60, 70,000 feet, way above clouds, that we're going to start developing a large high pressure in Alaska and a deep trough over the North Pole. That's the map in the bottom left-hand corner. And this is a forecast for 2 weeks from now. I went back to 7 years that had the same pattern, and that's the upper middle map, in which we see a lot of orange across Alaska down towards North America, and then a deep trough right over the North Pole in Greenland. So I went back to the 7 years that had the same pattern that's being forecast, and there's your U.S. temperature average during those 7 years with a deep ridge in Alaska and a trough in Greenland. So that's kind of a hint as to where we're going in this forecast. The analog years indicate that the North Pacific high is going to be real strong in the month of February. It's going to force the jet way far north into Alaska. At the same time, we're going to have a big trough underneath that trough I showed you before in the stratosphere, all the way across Canada into Greenland. But at the same time, we're going to have a strong Bermuda high off the west coast. What does this pattern do for us? Well, first off, it brings a lot of cold air south from Canada towards the Canadian border, the United States. But at the same time, the strong Bermuda high is going to try to prop that cold to the north. The two working against each other says we're going to have a lot of ups and downs, just like Texas has been having over the last couple of weeks. Real warm days when the Bermuda high pushes in, and then all of a sudden cold days when this flow from the north comes down out of Canada. So the temperature forecast for the month of February is quite cold in the northern plains, as you can see in the forecast, and warm in the southeast because of the Bermuda High. Well, I think the warmth is probably well forecast. We're looking at February 2 to 3, 4 degrees maybe above normal all the way through the southeast. Now, the cold, on the other hand, in the northern plains is probably exaggerated because we don't have snow on the ground. So rather than maybe 4 or 5 degrees below normal like in the forecast, maybe it'll only be about 2 or 3 degrees below normal. But definitely it's going to be a colder February in the northern plains compared to what we've had so far in the winter. With that ridge off the west coast, it's going to stay dry in California. On the other hand, with the Bermuda High quite strong off Florida, it's going to pump a lot of moisture into the lower Mississippi Valley and up the Ohio Valley, so they're going to get good moisture. But notice the northern plains stay relatively on the dry side. They're not going to have the snow cover like they had last year. The only reason the northern Rockies into the central Rockies are wet, that's because of all these Alberta clippers coming down, depositing snow in the mountains, but not on the plains. Let's go to the spring forecast. Spring forecast says the ridge is going to continue in the North Pacific near Alaska, which again is typical of La Nina. The trough in the eastern Canada is going to start moving back north. And as it does that, then the cold is going to ease out of the U.S. I think it's going to stay cold with that trough through March and the early part of April, after which then we'll warm up. At the same time, the Bermuda High is still going to be strong, pumping up moisture into the southeast. But the real problem is we have a ridge developing from Baja California towards Texas, which tends to cut off moisture to the southwest in Texas. So if we look at the forecast for the spring here, below normal temperatures from Montana into the northeastern United States, but not as cold as what it was February, maybe only 1.5 degrees below normal. The southwest, on the other hand, as that ridge starts developing, very warm, and notice how dry it is from Southern California into the Southern Plains. I think the winter wheat areas of the plains are kind of in a pretty marginal situation that they may not have a good crop this year. On the other hand, the Bermuda High is still pumping a lot of moisture through the Mississippi Valley up into the Ohio Valley, but it stays dry through the Dakotas. Again, very different than last year. Summer pattern. The high in the North Pacific stays relatively strong, but it's pretty far away from the West Coast. On the other hand, we have another ridge developing now in Baja California in California. This is an indication of a hot, dry summer through California. We also have our high, which is being forecast across all of southern Canada, which again says that far northern tier of states will be warm. About the only moisture really getting into the United States in the summer is coming out of the Atlantic, aimed towards the East Coast, and then getting into the Ohio Valley. And the monsoon in Mexico looks like it's going to be stuck between a ridge in Baja and another ridge in Yucatan and towards Cuba. So if we look at the summer temperature forecast, again with that ridge along the west coast and in Baja, California, very hot temperatures through California into the Intermountain West, and that heat extends all the way down into Texas. Likewise, quite dry through California into central Rockies. Little hint of a good monsoon down there in southern Arizona. And then we kind of have the same pattern that we've had for quite a few years now of good moisture through the Corn Belt, so not a lot of concern for the Corn Belt, and temperatures near normal through the Corn Belt also. Now, I would make a comment, if we actually look at the individual months, July through August, the coolness doesn't develop until the month of August. It's not cool in the midsection of the country in June and July. Likewise, in terms of the precipitation, it kind of starts on the wet side, but I think it's going to turn drier as we get towards the end of the summer. So that concludes the forecast for this upcoming spring and summer. I wish you guys a lot of luck. Remember, we're changing to La Nina, and for a lot of the country, that means the reversal of the weather patterns we've had 2014 through 2019. Thank you very much.